You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. We continue 12 minutes after 9 on a Monday, the Monday after Easter. Michael Musselman joins us from the great state of Texas. Gunner, what's up?
What's going on, Mac?
Nothing. How was your weekend?
Oh, man, it was quiet.
Quiet?
Yes. It's the way I like it.
You don't like it quiet. You like with all your, you got all your buddies going on.
Dude, I like it quiet.
Look. All right.
Well, because quiet means there's no drama.
Okay. That's good. No drama is good.
Yeah. That's always the way. If people always like, how do you like this? No drama.
Yeah, no
so
drama.
I, you know, the first time I get my hair cut by somebody, how would you like your hair cut, sir? In silence. They look at me like, okay, this guy's not joking around. He's serious. And then they get to know me and they're like, oh, you're a nice guy. Yeah, I just don't let people know that. The image is, you know, I'm a prick. And I like to keep that up.
Oh,
it takes
really?
A lot to get keep that, yeah.
So at random occasions, you have to do something that's just mean and senseless just so people know.
Yeah, just keep it up, man. It's tough, dude. People don't understand
the image.
How much work goes into being a dick.
Be consistently... But, you know, I don't, that's not really your image because you're more fun than you are, you know, miserable.
See, there's my choice. There it is. I got to change my, because you are confused now by who I am.
No, I know you. I know you. You see, my experience with you is that you're fun most of the time, unless somebody makes you mad. And normally the people that make you mad are idiots.
Stupid people.
Yeah. Stupid people. And
stupid
makes Mike mad. And then when he gets mad, then you actually do want to be around it because it's moderately funny.
Yeah. When I get mad, it does. This guy turns into a game for me.
It does. Because it's like a cat toying with a mouse before he eats it. That's what Mike does. He toys with a person. Right? And
that's
again.
That's actually pretty good. I like that.
Yeah, no, it is because this person Mike gives you chances to learn, and he'll teach you. All you have to do is say, "Yeah, I don't really understand what I'm doing," but you know. But if you have a little arrogance and you want to, well, Gunner, or then you go through, you go through all of that, and then we start to do Bugs Bunny tricks, you know, and with the person, and then we're just gonna have a good time with them as we kick them to the curb. And that's always amusing to watch.
No, you know, it's not, no.
Yes,
I don't,
trust me, I've seen it.
I don't.
It's funny.
Them. No.
Yes, you do.
After you strip down their decent, you know, their humility and common decency, you know, everything about it, then you feel bad, and then it's like, okay.
No, but why, no, they deserved it. They deserved every bit of it. Because you give them a chance. I've seen it.
Yeah, I think I've changed.
No, you haven't changed. You don't do it just for drill. They
have to stay away from it.
They have to earn it. No, I agree. It's not, because then it does anger you. It does anger you. Do you know anything about hypersonic missiles?
Well, I know about hypersonic and I know about missiles. So, it's a missile that travels It's hypersonic instead of supersonic or subsonic.
So that's what you're going to give me? As you know, it's a missile that flies hypersonic?
Well, I mean, hypersonic missiles have always been...
That's what you're going to give me. Unbelievable.
Okay, unbelievable. I'm sorry, man.
No, I thought you might know. I thought you might know. I'm kind of interested.
Well, what about
this.
It?
Would it?
Are you talking about the kinetic killer? The hypersonic kinetic killer?
Yeah, is that like a sabo round for ships?
Yeah. It's that whole theory of, you know, if you made a piece of straw go fast enough, you can put it through a tank. You know? So it's that whole philosophy that you don't need, it's a kinetic killer.
Right.
It fills by the energy. So.
And that's the, that's the principle behind the Sabo round, yes?
Yeah. It just real dense. There's a little bit of difference, but it's really, really dense. So that, depleted uranium, it's much heavier. When you make much heavier items fly much faster, then you get a larger release of energy when it strikes the target. So
we're talking about the same principles.
Yes, sir.
So we're talking about a metal dart going 4,000 miles an hour hitting something.
Yeah. And then, you put it through a ship. I think that would be easy, actually. Speeding tungsten telephone pole. That's really what you're doing, And then you just throw it right through the middle of the ship.
Should we be afraid of them?
No, why? Is that what China's got?
Your boy Putin's threatening all of us with it.
Yeah,
so I was just wondering.
A hypersonic missile?
Yeah.
That's what he's threatening us with?
Yeah. Yep. Russia has successfully tested a hypersonic missile, one of the invincible missiles revealed by Russia recently. Invincible.
What?
You cannot stop us. We will own you.
Is this a joke?
No. No. We have weapons that you cannot stop, America. You will not trifle with us.
Really?
Yeah.
This is
it.
Okay. Their threat to us is the hypersonic missile?
Yes. He got to do... Look, he's got... Putin, he's a con artist, okay? He's got an economy, he's dealing with the economy smaller than the economy of Canada, and he's trying to act big with it. So, we got to play games with it. We can't...
Well, the reason I asked this is because, there's like this... Well, this is like the... did they do this in that Austin Powers movie? Dr. Evil, he comes... He's in talking to modern times, and he's like, I'm going to hold ransom for $1 million. And they all laugh at him.
Yeah.
And then someone tells him, $1 million is probably like, it's nothing. $1 billion.
That's nothing, too.
Like, come on, guys.
What?
Yeah, that's nothing, too.
I'm
going to hold you. I'm going to destroy America with the hypersonic missile. They're like, hey, Putin, sorry to break this to you, bud, but we developed a technology, we built those in the 60s, we are now out of that. I know you're just coming into this 1960s technology revolution, but not so threatening. Someone needs to be that guy.
Trump tried to, he did, I was talking last hour, and I said this, but... the president, evidently in a phone call, said, look, you don't want to start another arms race because you'll lose.
Yeah.
You'll lose. You don't have the money to do it. Okay? So you probably ought to shy away from that. So it's kind of interesting. So you're not...
And the technology.
So what do they do? So it impacts... Can you put a nuclear warhead on a hypersonic missile?
Yeah. You could put anything on it. I mean, there's no reason to. Why? I don't get, because Putin thinks that because it's a hypersonic, you can't shoot it down?
Yes.
Oh, okay. But it doesn't make sense to me. I mean, why would you? Because, one, the technology that goes into it is huge. It's not...
The missile?
You still put more powder. It's not like you, hey, let's fill this thing up to the brim with the rocket fuel, make it hypersonic. That's not how it works.
How does it work?
Oh, it's the whole, it's a different type of fuel. It's a whole different different type of missile, different type of, what's the word I'm looking for? It's got aerodynamics to it. I mean, it's just, and it's got to have structure because when it's flying hypersonic, it's got a lot of stuff on it. So, it's just kind of crazy, man, that he is thinking that this is the solution.
We'll own you with the hypersonic. Okay, hold on. I just want to play this. This is a news report from CNN. So this is the Secretary of Defense. Okay, so let me see if this will play. And hold on.
Some rhetoric. U.S. Secretary of Defense James Mattis said Sunday that those capabilities are, quote, still years away.
I saw no change to the Russian military capability. And each of these systems he's talking about that are still years away, I do not see them changing the military balance. They do not impact any need on our side for a change in our deterrent posture.
While Putin's boasting about Russia's resurgent military might have been intended to strengthen his role as a strong leader at home and on the world stage, Mattis believes the show of force is still against Russia's own interests.
Let me talk about the end state, how many years away they are, how much money they want to put into this arms race that they're creating with themselves. At the end of the day, they can sink all that money in. It does not change my strategic calculation. I just assumed it would all
arms race with themselves
at great expense for the Russian people.
Michael Holmes.
Mattis is awesome. He's a big brain, man.
If they want to sink all that money in arms race with themselves, go for it. And that's that whole. I think that is funny, though. I mean, I think that is kind of humorous. Where the Russians come out and say, oh, an arms race, what you want? Putin, you lost the big one called the Cold War.
It's over. I know he's playing charades, though. Mike, is there anybody better at charades than Putin?
He's pretty good at it.
He's good. As a world actor, he comes on, right? He gives you that KGB shit. He's good.
Yeah.
He probably should get an award.
Here's the whole thing, okay? Think about this. Let's think about this.
I think he should get an Oscar for best actor in a dramatic role. Best actor in a dramatic role goes to Vladimir Putin.
But here's the whole thing.
Yes.
Think about this.
Yes.
What is Russian export that is sought after in the world? For instance,
vodka.
No, we beat them in vodka now, too.
We do?
Oh, yeah, we got much better vodka.
Caviar? Russian caviar?
We do that. I don't know if it was Russian caviar. It was sturgeon it may have been from Russia, but it was the Ural Mountain. And there's other stuff out there that I would say that's better.
Oh, really?
Just because you make it $1,000 a can doesn't make it better. How much are you charging? $900 a can. We're going to charge $1,000. Go knock yourself out. I mean, what? If it's caviar that their contribution to the world is, that's it, then think of, that's why when I say this is like, France, known for its wines, its champagne region, you go down the Champs-Élysées, you see fashion. I mean, there's things that they're Italy, same thing. Hell, supercars. Hell, you can see what supercar does people strive after to buy? A Russian? Have you seen their cars? They haven't changed since like the Cold War.
They're not exactly.
No.
You don't see a whole lot of Russian automobiles at the LA Auto Show. I'm just telling you.
Fashion?
No.
Standing in the bread line is not fashionable. I'm scratching my head. Like, watches? That would be Switzerland. What is it that they export that that the consumer market just knocks itself over? Think about that. I mean, DVD players? No, they're made in China. Electronics, again, Asians own that market. I mean, what is it? Oh, I own this new flat screen TV for made in Russia. Who says that?
Nobody.
You know, they own the market in, let's say, they own the market in uranium. They do have more uranium. They probably have vast oil, you know, vast oil reserves.
Yeah, oil and natural
and
gas.
Other minerals. But they get that because they're huge. Their land mass is, but 3/4 of the country is non-livable because it's called permafrost. It is always frozen.
No, you're not painting. You're not painting a very. No, it is the picture is right. Is that there's a reason why they have an economy that's smaller than Canada's, and they can fake it for short periods of time, and Putin can stand out there and make threats to everybody, but to me the only thing he's doing is he's trying to sustain his own dictatorship, because he knows if he integrates economically, then that will begin to open up other reforms in the country that he doesn't want to see. So I don't.
Their GDP is what Warren Buffett makes, in just his interest on his checking and his savings account.
I was honestly, I didn't know that until maybe a couple months ago, and I said that can't be right. It can't be right that a country that big, with 150 million people there, has a gross domestic product that is that small.
Yeah, it's super small, and they don't have a lot of people. Would have less people if they would open up. Russia is not, you know, Kiev is not the fastest growing European nation or city. Russia is not the fastest growing. People in Western Europe are not kicking the door down to move to Russia.
I just looked this up, but yesterday, if you had asked me before I looked it up, how many people does Russia have? I would have said, well, it's got to be bigger than the United States, right? I mean, it's a huge country. So I would have said, you know, I don't know, somewhere between 300 and 400 million people.
Yeah. 150, isn't it? 170?
Russia has 20 million more people than Japan.
Yeah.
They have twice as many people as the United Kingdom.
What? And you can fit all of Japan probably in the county that Moscow is in.
Yeah, exactly. You could take the whole island, the Japanese island, and you could stuff it into easily one province of Russia. Easily.
Oh, easily.
I'd
say a county. Oh, whatever they break it down to.
Yeah, what do the Russians call a county?
I don't know. Province is pretty big.
Yeah, so you could easily.
Yeah, I don't. This is mind-boggling to me.
Yeah, but what's amazing about, and then you look at gross domestic product, right? Right.
Mm-hmm.
The United Kingdom, 2.6 trillion. India, 2.2 trillion. Russia, 1.2 trillion. It's like a third of the United Kingdom, and the United Kingdom is dinky.
Yeah.
So
get it. Yeah, that doesn't make sense.
It is. So again, it's interesting when you look at them in terms of economically, you know, where they rank in the world, and then you see him going out there and doing his Dr. Evil act, and you're like, and Donald Trump was exactly right last week and said, hey, look, if you start an arms race, you're gonna lose. You're the little guy. Mm-hmm. I know you like to take your shirt off and puff your chest out and all that and be macho, But you can fake it in Syria, but you can't do it, bro. Let me save you the embarrassment. So anyway, it's interesting. Interesting. So what did you do for Easter? Now that we're over the hypersonic missile.
Really nothing. Just relax. Watch the movie.
Okay. Ask me what I did. What movie?
We watched Jumanji.
the new one or the old one? The new one?
The new one. I was kind of reluctant. I was always reluctant because it's just like, well, okay, whatever.
Boom.
Dude, I haven't laughed like that in a long time.
Oh, really? No, The Rock and Kevin Hart are funny. I mean, the whole movie's pretty funny.
And Jack Black, oh my God.
He's funny, too. he plays this really hot girl that gets stuck into this frumpy dude's
middle-aged
body.
It's
hilarious.
Oh.
He's funny. The first movie is really scary. The second movie more funny than scary. If you haven't seen the first Jumanji movie, the first Jumanji movie, I used to scare our kids, you know, just by going like this. Boom. The lights would go off in the house, and, you know, boom, 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 boom. And you'd hear him go, Mom! Take off down the hall. Like, come back here, you little coward.
Yeah.
Man,
so
up.
Funny, though. The new movie is just ridiculously funny.
Ask me what I did.
What'd you do?
I went and hung out with my family. I have a cousin that lives up in Pasadena. My sister drove down. My oldest sister, Peggy, drove down with my aunt, uncle, and a guy that I went to high school with and have been friends with since I was a little kid. He married one of my cousins. So they were all up in Pasadena. So Catherine, Colleen, and I went up there. Beautiful day. You know the mountains of Pasadena, La Cañada up there?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, clear day, beautiful day, and temperature about 75, hanging out with my family. It was
clear day according to what? No smog?
No smog, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So it was beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. So, and it was fun. I went up there intending to have brunch and then come back early, but we were having such a good time that we stayed. At one point, my sister put on this kind of pirate helmet and wig and things like that, and it was pretty funny. But we just hung out with family, and it was awesome. It was awesome. I said a little bit ago that my own family, I mean, we've had a very kind of turbulent existence and so, sadly, being with my aunt and uncle and my cousins, who we've always had a great time with, is kind of something new, for us, because when we would get together as a family, there'd always be enough turbulence in the air that you were always on guard. And when none of that exists, and it's just awesome. And my daughters love my sister. My sister Peggy's pretty funny. So, my daughters love her. So it was a great time. Great time. So
it's good.
Are you going to watch the basketball game tonight? Have you been following the, college, basketball thing?
How many times have I tell you I don't watch basketball? Basketball is not a sport to me.
Oh, that's right. It's an activity. Okay. Here, next question.
Hey, Boston Red Sox are in first place.
I know, by a game. 3-1. Yankees 2-2. Yankees got rained out today. So, opening day in the Bronx, got snowed out, actually. So, yeah. I don't know why they don't open the first 10 days of the season on the West Coast, in the South, and in dome stadiums. Why we try to play on the East Coast in the early part of April, I don't think is very smart.
Yeah, I think that's not smart at all.
Yeah, you could play every place that's got a dome, West Coast, South, knock yourself out. Play for a week, then go home. At least you give yourself a chance. Marine Corps got a new, more lenient policy about tattoos for prior service enlistees into the reserves. Is that just, Mike, you've been a recruiter, is that just a precursor of the changing demographics and us not meeting numbers? Because when we meet numbers, we don't change shit.
Yeah, we don't. I don't know. I don't get it. I don't know why. I don't know what the new policy is, so I'm not really following it. So.
It used to have to be, if you had tattoos that needed waivers, the policy had to go to the general that's the tattoo specialist, and he adjudicated the issue. Now the RSCO can adjudicate it, so they pushed that down. And normally, what that means is we're not making mission, so we need more people. So, right? That's the way it works. So, anyway, I think it's a precursor to that happening for the general population because the number of people that are qualified to serve is getting smaller. And tattoos are a lot more acceptable. You know, when Mike and I joined the military, the only people who had tattoos were guys in the Navy and the Marine Corps. You know, your basic human being didn't have a tattoo.
Right.
So now, and now there's, the Marine Corps got this. I should send it to you. You should see the diagram that is the tattoo piece. It is.
Yeah, I'd like to see it.
It is hilarious. It's on one side, it's got all these wires that come off the body, and you've got red zones and black zones. Red zones are no-go areas on the human body, and then you have areas that are permissible, and then you have, for instance, on the hands. If you have a tattoo on your finger that's narrower than 3/8 of an inch on a finger, then that's acceptable. If it's wide,
on the neck, it's a no-go.
It's wide. So it's very crazy. So, but again, I think everybody's seen the articles in the last couple weeks about how few people in the future are going to be eligible to serve in the military, and that poses problems. And when out of that pool you say, yeah, we don't want you because of your tattoos, in a culture that has a lot more tattoos, you got a problem. You got a problem. And what rank were you when you were recruiting?
I was a sergeant, staff sergeant.
Hey, let me ask you, is there a playbook where you look at a kid and say, yeah, we don't want you. Come back. Maybe go see the other services. Is that a play out of the playbook when you want to? When I interview people, one of the questions I say is, how does the Marine Corps get on your radar? Well, I was interested in enlisting, and I saw Marines, and I was, like, really impressed. But I walked in, the guy said, yeah, we're not interested, man. Try one of the other services. And it's like, that's when I knew I wanted to be a Marine. And it happens a lot. Is that out of the playbook?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So give me the playbook. Talk to me about the playbook, the recruiter playbook. How does that work?
Really, it's up to you. I mean, it depends on the station and depends on who's running it, because a lot of times it depends on the month, like what your mission is, but it's down that gut feeling that, you know, you're like, God, I really don't, this doesn't really have what it takes.
Oh, so you would try to stoke the fire and say, yeah, sorry, I don't think we're the right fit.
Yeah, you want to make sure that you're getting the right guy, and you know, and then it's just, you know, if you feel something wrong about somebody, you just look for a reason to disqualify them.
Ooh. Well, you just don't say, yeah, no, sorry, not going to work. You have to kind of disqualify them in their eyes.
Well, yeah, because you go through this, and you'll see. You know, it's just that feeling you get, that gut. Like, man, this guy is all for the wrong reasons. He's doing this.
The wrong reason. That's,
yeah.
That's a problem.
Yeah. I mean, they join, oh, I want to join the Marine Corps because I need a job. Well, they're not the job corps. This is not a job fair. You know, there's a whole lot more to it than you got to want to have that desire. So they have these things called benefit tags. And, you know, the benefit tags are, you know, things like whatever, you know, intangible things like money and college and a sense of belonging, you know, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And when they pick them and they pick all the wrong ones, you're like, oh, God.
So how does that work?
Thinking
so,
farewell. I mean, you could put the kid in the Marine Corps.
Right.
If he's qualified, you put him in, and the problem comes into is if you know he's joining for the wrong reasons, when he gets in, he's going to be a problem. It's just a matter of time.
Are those things that
not if,
are those things?
When.
Oh, really? Those things are that accurate.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Because it tells you as a recruiter what frame of mind this kid is in.
And so, how many different tags are there?
Oh, there's a bunch. There's shit. I don't remember. I don't even remember how many there are. I just know there's a lot. Well, I mean, there's more than five, but less than probably 20. Maybe 18 or something like that. I don't remember.
And so the way it works is I have to rack and stack them, and then you look at them and go, this guy's an idiot.
Yeah. Or you try and persuade them to, like, hey, is this really that important to you? Or how about this one?
That's if you, Kate, does a test automatically eliminate people, or is it just a piece of the mosaic that?
It's a piece. It's another piece.
Now, who reviews that? Does somebody, if you look at this mosaic and you say, yeah, I'm not going to make mission. I'm going to contract this guy. Do you get jammed for that? Does somebody have to sign off, on it? Or?
No. Really, it's up to the recruiter. So, I mean, it's in the recruiter's play. It's in his lane. So, because he's the first guy.
Interesting. So the RSCO doesn't review the package and sign off on it.
No. That's the recruiter and the MEPS guy, the guy that's working at the military entrance processing center.
Interesting. The email question for you. Mac, I'm curious, of all the jobs the gunner had in the Marine Corps, he sounds like he's done quite a few things. What was his favorite? Interesting question. What was your favorite job?
Being a gunner. Almost without a doubt.
Which gunner in what unit, gunner in what organization?
Oh, division. When I was division gunner.
Let me take that one away from that. That's too easy. That's like guys saying that when I was in command. Okay, so let me take that away from you.
Okay.
So if not the division gunner and not the regimental gunner and not the battalion gunner, I'm going to take those three away. So of all the other jobs you had in the Marine Corps, right, what was your favorite one?
Take all those away?
Yeah.
Holy smokes. I would then have to say probably, man, that's a top. Probably when I was at the School of Infantry.
What were you doing there?
Because you're working with guys, you know, when they first come in and they're going through the school, the recruits, but you're working with a lot of the young NCOs that are basically like the troop handlers. So you can really get a lot of stuff accomplished. You can really affect the style and the way they're thinking. So at a very early age.
Interesting. So your time in Quantico with guns isn't up there? I wouldn't think recruiting would be up there.
That was fun, but no, because I had to deal with contractors, and I had to deal with the bureaucracy of
the procurement system.
You know, acquisitions, the procurement system, and that was not fun.
Wow.
No, that sapped the life out of me.
So wait a minute. So, you were at Weapons Training Battalion, right?
Mm-hmm.
So were you writing requirements? What is the mission of Weapons Training
Battalion? Well, that was different. I didn't do, you know. So Will Constantini, that's what he always says. That, you know, I worked for Will. Will, I was on Will's roster. You know, I, as far as he was my boss, But I never really did anything for that battalion. Because of my job, I was always working for other groups, other, you know, Marine Corps Systems Command, NCSIDIC, writing requirements, and then yada, yada, yada. As Will says it, he wrote my fitness report, but I never worked for him.
So what was the scope of your job then at Weapons Training Battalion?
Mostly just research and development.
Of what particular weapons?
Small arms.
And what is a small arm? From what to what?
Yeah. You know, pistol, rifle, shotgun.
So sniper rifle, part of your portfolio?
Yeah.
Pistol part of your...
Anything really I really wanted to get into.
Oh.
My portfolio was whatever I wanted it to be.
So where do you get... But you said you talked to us about a prioritization of requirements. And that those came from Ockfield sponsors, Ockfield advocates. And
By default, I was the subject matter expert when it came to weapons and the employment of them. So in that region, so other groups. I mean, dude, I was working with Warfighting Lab. I mean, everybody, anybody that was dealing with small arms at the time would bring me into their arena, and then I had purview over it. So you could have made that job whatever you wanted it to be.
Did you?
Oh, yeah. I took full advantage of that.
What did you make it into?
I made it into where, you know, I was basically the subject matter expert. I was the portal that, you know, all of those things came into being. So if you had a project you were working on, then I was the guy there that was basically casting a vote for the infantry. It was kind of cool.
Email. Mac, I'm curious, do you and the gunner think that the president inviting Vladimir Putin to the White House is a good idea or a bad idea? Mike, good idea, bad idea?
You can't say, too early to say. It's whatever comes out of it. Then that's always the view, the lens that you use. So if he invites him and things get accomplished, then you know what? It was a great idea. If he invites him and nothing comes of it, then not so much of a good idea.
Yeah, I don't think there's any harm in talking, and I think nations ought to have some kind of dialogue. That's always a good thing.
Oh, always.
Right.
There should, yeah. It's when we isolate ourselves from that's when it becomes a problem.
I think that no matter what comes out of it, having frank discussions with him is a good thing. It's a good thing. I think not talking is not a good thing. But and so even if nothing comes out of it, something will come out of it. Some message will be sent, you know, to him, in my opinion, saying, hey, you really don't want to go down there this road. We don't want to go down this road with you, and we're in an infinitely better position, you know, to sustain this than you are. You will lose in the long run. You'll lose. So, anyway, interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Another email. Can we talk guns for a second, boys? Always. We always talk guns. Quit asking that question. Anytime we get gun questions, we always talk about it. Why does the United States military still use the 50 cal? That thing is older than Moses.
Mm-hmm.
Mike, why do we still use the Ma Deuce?
Because it meets, it comes back to a requirement. It meets the current requirement. There's nothing more, nothing less. It's a reliable gun, you know, and unless we had, let's say we had a requirement for a lighter weight 50 cal for man portable, you carry it as a man, then we'd have a new 50 cal. But we don't need that because we mount them. They're crew served weapons. We mount them. There's no reason to get a new one. So if there's no reason to get a new one, then we'll never get a new one.
Now, I thought I read someplace recently where they've changed something on the 50 cal and that it's now you no longer have to set headspace and timing.
Yeah, now there's a fixed headspace and timing.
So
you don't have to move anything. You don't have to adjust anything.
So it's just like any other machine gun. It's just you screw the barrel in still, and it's automatically mm-hmm. head spaced and timed.
Yep.
That used to derail a lot of wannabe 50 cal gunners, man. You find somebody that could knew their way around head space and timing, he was your guy. Especially when you're out on ranges shooting, and those you don't
right.
you have somebody who struggles with that, they're always jamming. Oh, man. And then all of a sudden, some other guy shows up. And all of a sudden, the 50 cals are just shooting like crazy. And you're like, who is that guy? Sir, that's Corporal Musselman. Hey, Musselman, come here. Are you like a headspace and timing genius? Yes, sir, I am. Right? It's like, all right, guess what? You're staying out here for 3 days with me, okay, bro? Tell that other dude, no need to come back.
Yeah. And it was... And the crazy thing about it was it was always hot. It's just you don't keep up with it. That skill set goes away quick.
Yeah, headspace and timing, man. It's this gauge, and if you can't figure it out, your day is just so long and so stupid.
Oh,
yeah. Exactly.
Oh my God. I don't know what to do.
Exactly. Now, how did they eliminate it? Did they just somehow or other, did they manufacture the barrel differently, the receiver differently? What did they do to eliminate
it? Yeah, they married it up, so.
The combination.
The requirement, yeah.
Got it. How many years old is that?
They were doing that when I was there, so they just started it.
Within the last 5 years?
Yeah, probably about 6-7 years ago.
All right. Another gun question. Mac, what's the most exciting thing going on relative to ammunition for small arms these days? I don't know. Mike, what's the most exciting thing relative to small arms going on these days?
In the military, nothing.
Nothing? Exciting?
No, nothing. Nothing to write home about, no.
Wow, that's depressing. That's depressing.
Yeah. Yes, it is. I mean, because again, it comes back to requirement. We can't do anything in the military unless there's an actual written requirement that changes, you know, employment or something within the military. So unless, you know, it was the new bullet, the M855A1 that the Army came out with. That's the newest, greatest thing. They just
right.
got away with the old green tip.
Oof. Hey, Mac, tell the gunner of the show that Terror was a good recommendation. Thanks.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it? Did you watch it, Mac? No,
that's an email. It's from Big Dave.
Oh, yeah. Good movie, man. Gosh, really good.
No, I did recommend over the weekend, though, the Elizabeth Smart movie to my family. I said, check it out.
Yeah.
I said, that
did
came
they check
from,
it out?
Yeah, they said they would. My aunt said she had seen it, and I was talking to my uncle about it, and I can't remember, he asked me a question. I said, well, you know, I'll tell you something that you should watch, and I can't remember what the question was about. It was something about post-traumatic stress or something like that. He asked me a question. I said, yeah, watch Elizabeth Smart. You know, because I said, oh, no, talking about a young guy who had come back from Afghanistan or Iraq and was struggling. I said, yeah. I said, the problem when they get away from their tribe is that they don't have anybody to kind of put them in check, to tell them, like, hey, look, we didn't corner the market on this. You know, there's people that have been raped, violent crime. You know, I mean, there's a lot of people that are affected by this, okay? So don't act like, you know, you're damaged for the rest of your life. You know, you need to get it together. And I said, there's a great movie about Elizabeth Smart, and we started talking about her. And if you've never seen it, watch it. It's called I Am Elizabeth Smart, I think. And it's on the Lifetime channel. It is an incredible story about overcoming adversity in life and that you can be happy. The bad things that you see that happen to you don't need to define you for the rest of your life. And she, if there's anybody who we'd all accept playing the victim card, it's Elizabeth Smart, who was kidnapped at the age of 14 and raped almost on a nightly basis for the next 9 months. And so she has more than enough in her kit to opt out. But she doesn't. She's a mom now with two kids, and she said her message is life is worth living. And you can do it. And so very positive, very uplifting. And The Gunner has a reputation of a quality TV recommendation. So in addition to be a Yelper, you could be a I think Montana Man needs your help on Yelp. So he says he's only got a couple of reviews on Facebook, and that's what she's doing. Hold on one more. Mac, I thought the Gunner wasn't going to talk about baseball until halfway through the season, but he just jammed the Red Sox being one game up on the Yankees up your ass a few minutes ago. He's like that.
Did you text yourself a message?
He's like that, and I'm glad I didn't say anything. I'm glad somebody caught that, because that's the way he is. I don't want to talk about it. So at some point over the weekend, he saw the baseball standings, and he just filed it. Hey, Mac, did you see that the Red Sox are a game up? That's the way he is. And then the Yankees are going to pound them, and then he's going to say, I don't want to talk about it. You know, I don't want to talk about it until September. That's how he does.
Okay, I won't talk about it.
See? That's what I have to put up with. That's what I have to put up with.
Yeah,
what else?
You're the victim card here.
What else you got going today?
Today, kind of quiet. I'm finishing up after my class I ran yesterday.
Yeah, or on Saturday. How was the class?
It was okay. Yeah, I mean, the problem comes into it is people come to the class thinking that it's a period of instruction. You know, and you got to remind them that the class is really, at this point, you're coming to qualify. I mean, there's no time for, hey, wait a minute, how do you do this? You have to come with that knowledge already, in your brain housing group. I can't coach you through this. Not a weapons familiarization class. This is a qualification.
Interesting. And how do they get it screwed up in that the when they read it and sign up for it, don't they know that it's a qualification?
No, not really.
Oh.
And that's what I'm going to add in there too, in that website, is I'm going to talk about, hey, this is a qualification. Come, don't show up in the class. And when I ask you, when's the last time you shot a pistol? And you say 7 years ago. I'm like, oh my God. Okay. Yeah. I'm not there to teach you. I'll cover grip and stance and all the basic stuff, but we blow right through it.
That's got to be.
I had a former Marine. He was from he was in the 3rd Marines out in Hawaii. He was there. Really good kid. I mean, really good. It's always good to have guys like that in your class. So.
What about, it's got to be awkward, though. It's got to be awkward when that moment when they realize that you're not going to teach them and they're going to be tested. Do they leave? Say, yeah, well, I can't do that. I'm out. Or do they hang
out? No. Yeah, they go through it. And in a lot of cases, a lot of them perform well.
Just a
they
little.
Just lack the confidence. Yeah.
Just a little bit nervous.
Yeah. And that's granted. I mean, I understand.
All right.
I get it.
All right. That'll do it. Have a good day, man.
All right, brother. I'll talk to you later.
There you have it. The one and only Michael Musselman here on a Monday. The Gunner, as he's known. My thanks to Alex Hollings for coming on this morning. He's a writer a senior writer at SoftRep. You can find his work at SoftRep.com. He's a smart guy, so you'll hear him. As always, my thanks to the Gunner for coming on. So, have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow. Thanks for listening on a Monday. All Marine Radio. Out.